Well, we have some questions that you guys have texted in over the last 24 hours, and so we're not going to deal with all of them just simply for the sake of time, but we're going to have a short Q&A. Sean's going to give us more of a sermonette. Sounds kind of feminine, but...
Sermonito.
Sermonito. Okay, all right. A sermonito. So it's not going to be a full-blown, 40, 50 minutes message, but a powerful one, though. So I have some questions for you, Sean, that have been sent in from our very own students. Okay, here's number one. Is there actually a physical battle that we will fight at the end of all time?
That's a good question, and here's the answer. I have no clue. I don't know what that means. When the Lord conquers Satan and his enemies, I really don't know. I mean, I wish I had a better answer than that. What I do know is that whatever battle there is, it won't be much of a battle when it's Jesus versus the enemy. It's not going to be a long, he doesn't need long, bloody wars. Okay, where are they now? It's like, I already know where they are. I'm Jesus. And so I think the images of war in Scripture, they always make sure that God gets the credit because he's the one who actually does the fighting. And I don't think, if I know our God well, that he enjoys some sort of masochistic situation. The images are he destroys evil, and he spoke the worlds into existence. Surely he can end the world as we know it pretty in the same manner.
Yeah, good. The next question, which is a very good question, I had somebody ask me this personally. Is there a biblical basis for the rapture? Do you believe in the rapture?
Rapture. It's interesting, the word rapture, the actual word, never shows up in Scripture. The concept of the rapture, however, does. All the rapture means, and we get it from multiple places, actually outside of the book of Revelation, basically it means that Jesus is going to come back for us. That's the bottom line. And it says he's going to call up, and that's the word rapture in Latin, I believe. He's going to call up his saints, living and dead, and we're going to meet him in the air. There are differences about when that happens. But what is very clear is Jesus will come back, and it's going to be a surprise. And that's a good surprise, Jesus coming back. And so, of course, we're going to see Jesus come again, and the church, living and dead, will meet him.
So when's that going to happen?
Yeah, according to my chart. Yeah, exactly. Here's an important point, though. Every time, even Jesus was asked, when is your kingdom going to come in its full power? And he says, I don't know. If he doesn't know, I surely don't know. And I would just say, we all like to talk about the end times, and it's okay. There's part of that. There is some chronology to it. I don't know totally what it is. When we start saying, oh, this has to happen before this has to happen, I think, well, Jesus thought, and Paul thought, and John thought it could be at any moment. So nothing else needs to take place. He could have come back yesterday, and he may come back tomorrow.
So here's another good question that was asked of me last night and texted in as well. Says, so if heaven is coming to us, where are the souls that are dead now?
Wow. The Bible says that when a saint, the word saint just means any Christian, of course, in the Scriptures, when a saint dies, that their spirit is with the Lord. Now again, if heaven's not a location, and we keep thinking, where are they? And that's inside our categories. They're with God. Where is God? I mean, he's everywhere. He's there. He's here. He's with us. He's in worship. All we know is that they know they're with God, but they're still waiting for something, and that's the resurrection of their body, so they can be complete, just like we're waiting. So they're in heaven, in one sense, but they're also waiting for heaven in its full nature, like we are.
Yeah, so it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we can rest assured of that.
I don't think they're floating around in some stasis. You know what I'm saying? they're with God.
Yeah. And Paul talked about that as being a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So those were great questions, great logical questions. I love the critical thinking that is going on out there. I want to shift gears just for a minute about missions. We did have some missions questions that were texted in as well. But one that really struck me was this. Can single women play a role in foreign missions beyond a give-a-year situation?
Absolutely. If you read the history of missions, you will find that maybe some of our best, maybe our best missionaries were single women. And so there is lots of role. In fact, each one of us, in the big categories of men and women, we have things to add. You know, men have things to add that women don't have. Women have things to add that men do not have. And of course, every person, individual, has unique gifts. And what I love about seeing even the young ladies who've given a year is each of them can tap into a different, they see the culture differently, they feel about it differently, and they make different kinds of relationships. And God needs every kind of relational ministry going on. That means family to families. That means singles to singles, males to males, females. I mean, and so women can play, I don't see any kind of limited role being single or being female, just like I don't see any limited role for men and women. I think practically speaking, probably, and this goes for couples, married couples too, is missions is a team effort, and I believe in missions as team. And so I would encourage anyone in single ministry, whatever opportunity you have, do it with someone. Do it with someone.
Yeah, just for the two first missionaries Amy and I ever started supporting were two single missionaries in the Arab world. They're still there today. We still support them today. And God's using them in great ways. And so your marriage status doesn't have to do with your kingdom usefulness at all.
Yeah, Paul, you know? Paul, if anything,
yeah,
defers to singleness. So, you know, you're in good company.
Yeah, and Jesus was single, too,
yeah.
So
yeah,
that's good company.
Yeah. Jesus and Paul.
Yeah, right. Jesus and Paul and you. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. I guess he kind of used them.
Absolutely.
Anyways, yeah, so that's good. Well, great questions. There are more, but we want to make sure we keep moving on. So, but thanks for sending in your questions. And I have something I would like to do here real quick. Are Luke, Claire, and Ruthie here? Are they here? Would you guys come up, run like you guys know how to run? That would be awesome.
Without
you guys
tripping.
Give a big hand. Yeah, without tripping. Okay. Come on. Don't be bashful.
A little quicker. More quickly,
don't
please.
Don't be bashful.
Rápido.
All right. Luke, come on up here on the stage. You guys can climb. These are the Galleon kids. I want you to see them. I told him he's got the Bieber look going on here. So we say something in Spanish, Luke.
Hola.
Oh, that's... Whoa! They are smart kids. Okay. Anyways, this is Claire and this is Ruth. We wanted to give them something, so what we did is we got them all $25 from Amazon to buy stuff for their Kindle or whatever else your parents will let you buy. And so, Luke, since you're the oldest, you get to carry it. And so we just want to honor you guys, and you guys are heroes. You guys got uprooted too, and you've been great sports, and I know that you guys are making a difference in Spain. So thanks for what you're doing. All right? All right, you guys can have a seat. All right, well, Sean, let's close this baby out.
Right.
You guys want to hear one more sermonito? All right.
Let's close this baby out. It's diaper and powder to this thing. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.